Hello, beloved, and it's time again for our Bible study. Last week we were doing this study on the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and the beauty of Pentecost, and we are back with our study in the letter of Jude. We are busy with study number 14 on the letter of Jude. Now, before we do continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful privilege to study your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that enables us to understand your word. And I pray this morning, Father, that you will enable us to not only understand your word, but to apply your word to our lives, and that our lives will reflect what we learn. This we pray in Jesus' name. Enable me as well as your servant to teach your people, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look at Jude. We're going to read verse 3 and 4 again. We are still busy with verse 4, by the way. So let's continue with that. And this is what Jude had to say. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is a mouthful. This is absolutely, truly a mouthful. But what we find here, especially in verse 4, where it speaks about, let me just bring that up again. There we go. Specifically verse 4, where it says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what Jude was speaking about here is he was speaking about false teachers. And these false teachers crept into the church, but they did it unnoticed. And they had four very distinct characteristics or character traits, according to Jude. First is, they are sneaky, because they creep into the church unnoticed to come and spread their poison among the people. But they're also ungodly. And this kind of speaks for itself now. They were living without God while they were saying that they were living for God, but they were actually living without God. But they also turned the grace of God into a license for themselves to sin. So they would always twist the scriptures and twist things in such a way that whatever they do is right. Especially when it came to sexual immorality. They were living sexually immoral lives, but somehow it was justified. And then the one that we are looking at this stage is they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the one thing these false teachers deny about Jesus Christ is, for example, that Jesus had two natures in the one person, Jesus Christ. They deny it. Well, they deny a lot of things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already looked at quite a few of them. But today we're going to look at the fact that they deny the two natures of Jesus Christ. Now, let me warn you in advance, it's a difficult topic to understand. But it's revealed to us in Scripture. And if it's revealed to us in Scripture, we should take note of it, we should embrace it, and we should believe it, because God decided to reveal it to us. You see, we don't just throw things under the bus because it is difficult for us to understand. No, no, no. We wrestle with these things. And one of these things that we can wrestle with is the two natures of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ was God and man at the same time. Now, when it comes to the life of Christ, there are many difficult questions that come up. And two of these questions are actually, first one, when Jesus became a man, we read in the Philippians 2 verse 7, that he emptied himself. What does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? The second question is, Jesus is both fully God and fully man. And how do these two natures fit together? You see, these two questions are actually called the question of kenosis and the question of the hypostatic union of Christ. Now, these are two theological terms which is used to describe the fact that Jesus emptied himself and the two natures that was in the one person, Jesus Christ. How did it work? Now, it sometimes feels, if things become too technical, I'm sorry about that, but you know what? Sometimes we've got to use the theological terms just to embrace them and say, all right, there is such a thing as kenosis. There is such a thing as the, pardon me, the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. But I believe it's important what we believe about Jesus Christ. And these terms just basically helps us to understand something more about Jesus Christ. And by the way, for us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ, we need to know certain things about him. Now, when we look at the question, what does it mean that Jesus emptied himself in Philippians chapter 2? Basically, this is a theological term, and the term that is used is the term kenosis. But we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Let me just read it again. He says, and this is speaking about Jesus, who thought he was, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Paul says that Jesus emptied himself. Now the Greek word for emptied is basically the word kenoo, from which we then get the word kenosis. This is the Greek word that is used. Kenosis, it comes from this Greek word kenoo, which means that Jesus emptied himself. Now the question is for us, what did Jesus empty himself of? I mean, did he empty himself of his godhood? Some say that Jesus was no longer God when he emptied himself. He became just a man, and he was just a man on this earth. But this answer is obviously, this answer to the question is, what did Jesus empty himself of, is obviously wrong. Because we see many things in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ that shows us that Jesus was God. I mean, it is only God who can calm the sea and the wind, like Jesus did in the storm. Remember that Jesus raised people from the dead. It's only God who can raise people from the dead. He made the blind to see. And remember, somebody that was born from birth with a blindness, that was only God. And when Jesus did that miracle, everybody knew. Here we have somebody that's not just doing miracles in and through the power of God. This is God doing the miracles. And then obviously Jesus also cast out demons. So there was something about Christ, and there's quite a lot more. But there was a lot of things. Jesus could forgive sins. And it's only God that can forgive sin. Now, when we look at the fact that Jesus emptied himself, I believe the biblical answer lies in the understanding that when Jesus emptied himself, it was not a subtraction that took place. It was not something that was taken away from Christ, but it was actually an addition. Something was added to him. Now, this might sound strange, but give me some time and you'll see. You see, when we think of emptying, when we think of it. We think of, let's say, for example, a glass of water. I fill it up with water, then I drink the water and I empty it. And when we think of emptying, we are thinking of something that's being lost. But for Jesus, it was really a matter of something being added. You see, when we read the context of Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, we find that Jesus took on a few things. He took on the form of a servant. He took on the likeness of man, which means the appearance of a man. And he took on the death on the cross. Now, the death on the cross, whoa, God cannot die. Ah, so that was something that was added to Christ. It was something that Jesus Christ took on himself. God doesn't look like a man. Man is created, or mankind is created in the image of God, but he had the appearance of a man, which means that God lessened himself, but he took on the appearance of a man. He put on the likeness of a man. He came in the form of a servant. He took on servanthood, where indeed he was the creator and is the creator of the universe. You see, when we look at all these things, they were all added to Jesus. But in adding them, he accepted the limits that went with these things. And so he was emptying himself by taking on limitations. I hope that makes sense. You see, just like when we take a chain and we put it on a dog, something is being added to the dog. What is being added? A chain, something that now controls the dog. But this thing which is added, this chain that is added, brings limitations with it. All right, so it's not a question that something is taken away. It's something that is added, that added limitations to Christ. And that's what it means that Jesus emptied himself. All right, so Jesus did not become human and lost the fact that he was God or he is God. No, he added human limitations to himself. So the way that this is best explained is through the true natures of Jesus Christ. He had a divine nature and he had a human nature at the same time. And this is called the hypostatic union. In theological language, the hypostatic union between Jesus Christ, within Jesus Christ. He was fully God and fully man. It was God who put limitations on himself by becoming a man. Now, he put on limitations on himself by becoming coming in the form of a servant, in the likeness of man, in the appearance of man. God himself put limitations upon himself. But in the person of Jesus Christ, there was this hypostatic union that was in Christ. Now, the hypostatic union question that is asked is, how is it possible for the two natures of Jesus, his nature as God and his nature as a man, how they can exist at the same time in one person? And that's kind of the theological question. And books have been written about this. So I'm not going to try to be exhaustive in my explanation of it, but it's important for us to understand that Jesus Christ had two natures. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. And we believe that the Bible teaches us that the two natures of Christ can never ever be separated. So it wasn't at one time that Jesus was God and then the next moment he was man. No, he had two natures. He had the divine nature and he had the human nature at the same time. They cannot be separated. But at the same time, they are never mixed or confused. Right? There's not one moment that the nature, the divine nature and the human nature of Christ is mixed within Christ. They always stay separate in Christ. They never confused. They never overlapped. You see, Jesus is forever the God-man, fully God and fully man at the same time. Now, obviously, this is difficult to grasp. These are difficult thoughts. But I believe that they can be summarized as follows. And this is just basically summarizing it. Jesus Christ had two distinct natures. He was God and man. He had a divine nature and a human nature at the same time. There is no mixing or confusion between these two natures. And though he has two natures, Jesus is one person. All right. That's important for us to understand. So as we have seen before, Jesus needed to be both God and he needed to be man at the same time to be able to die for our sins. We looked at that. So I'm not going to discuss it again. All right, so what are the value of these kind of teachings? What is the value of the fact that, we know about kenosis. Yes, all right. Jesus emptied himself while actually adding limitations to himself. And then we have the teaching on the hypostatic union of Christ, the two natures in the one man, Jesus Christ. What is the value? What does it help to have these two teachings? Well, beloved, when we look at kenosis, that's Jesus emptying himself. This teaching helps us to realize how much Jesus actually loves us. You see, Jesus was fully God, né? He is still fully God, but he was fully God and he was willing to accept all the limitations of being a human being so that he could die for our sins. If God did not take on the limitations of a human being, if he didn't live a sinful life and die for our sins, we would still be in our sins. There would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no salvation. And there we would, therefore we would still be lost right now. That's the amazing thing about the fact that Jesus emptied himself. See, Jesus set the example of what true humility actually looks like. If you want to know what true humility is, it is God becoming a human being. God taking on the limitations of human beings is the greatest of example we will ever, ever have of what humility looks like. And I believe that we need to follow his example. Listen, I'm not saying that we will ever, ever be able to do it the way Jesus did it. We can't because we're not God. We're human. But I think we need to follow his example of what it means to be truly, truly humble. We can follow his example of humbling ourselves. First, we can humble ourselves before God and we can humble ourselves before our fellow brothers and sisters. But we can also humble ourselves before the lost. As we limit ourselves from all the things that we enjoy and go out and share the good news of the gospel with them. Because we are the only ones who can share the gospel. Now, when we look at the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, the two natures in the one man, Jesus Christ, what is the value of that? I believe that this teaching of the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ helps us to remember that Jesus lived a sinful life. Sinful, listen to me. That he lived a sinless life as a man. And we ought to follow his example. Does it mean we will be able to live a sinless life? No, but it's something that we can, aspire to. It's something that we can say, this is what I want to do. Is I want to live the kind of life that Jesus Christ lived. Will I get it 100% correct? No. But it is something that I aspire to. It's something that I would like to reach. In and through the power of the Holy Spirit, obviously. But this hypostatic union also teaches us that God values human beings. He values our bodies, for example. There are some people today who teach that our bodies and our humanity are not pleasing to God. And that God is only interested in our spirit. It's not true. Everything about us is important to God. Our humanity is important to God. Our bodies are important to God. God is not just interested in our spirit and our spiritual life. No, he's how can I say, he's interested in everything about us. You see, when Jesus became a man, God showed us that he placed value on the human body because God took on flesh. He took on a human body. You see, and I believe that that shows us that we need to treat our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, temples of God. Our bodies are important. Now the question is, do we respect our bodies? Or do we mistreat our bodies? Do we understand the importance of our human bodies? It's important. You see that false teachers in Jude's day, and also today obviously, they have one thing in common. They deny the truth about Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. And one of those truths are the kenosis. They deny that God emptied himself by taking on human limitations so he can come and save sinners. They normally have all these kind of weird teachings about Christ. Another truth that these false teachers deny is the two natures of Jesus Christ, or the hypostatic union. That Jesus is God and he is man in the one person, Jesus Christ. These false teachers love to, how can I say, they just love to deny things about Jesus Christ because they deny the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. They will twist things about Christ. And I believe that you and I, we need to be very, very sure of who Jesus is. So when we proclaim Christ, we proclaim the true Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you. And thank you so much that we can learn about Jesus Christ, who he is. And I just adore him more. Make Christ alive in us this week, we pray. And thank you so much that we can know that he emptied himself by taking on human limitations. Thank you that he was the God-man, fully God, fully man at the same time. Because that's the Jesus we serve. Amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to this Bible study. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Until we speak about it again next time, God willing. And from my side, bye-bye.